Let's do this. Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to Philippians chapter 4. I like to preach through books of the Bible, and I like for you to learn line upon line, precept upon precept, God's Word. And we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians on Sunday night. Tonight we're going to continue the thing about the gift of tongues. And we're going to talk about why that gift has ceased today. We're going to see in the Bible the three times where tongues are spoken, and we're going to examine that. So I invite you to be back tonight at 6 o'clock for that. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the book of Philippians. We went through Nehemiah this year. Now we're going through the book of Philippians. On Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, verse by verse. All right, Philippians chapter 4, and look with me at verse number 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful, or that word careful means anxious, full of anxiety. Be anxious, or we could say be anxious or worried for nothing. So the Christian isn't to be consumed with worry. But he says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the Bible teaches that I'm not to be worried. I'm not to be afraid or anxious. The last 3 weeks we've talked about choosing peace over worry. And you know, there's a verse that hit me this week. And I thought about this verse and I looked it up. And I want to read it to you. This comes from one of the parables of Jesus. And he said, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world. Listen to that. The care, the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. The Bible says that the cares of this world can choke the word to where we become unfruitful. We get the word worry from an Anglo-Saxon word that meant to choke. It meant to strangle. And so the Bible describes care or worry that way. It says that it can choke. It can choke the word to where you become unfruitful in your life. Worry has such an adverse effect on our life. And some of you here this morning may really struggle with this thing of worry. You worry about your kids, you worry about your marriage, you worry about money, you worry about everything, you know. And you just worry, 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 worry. Some of us, even if we don't struggle with that on a consistent basis, all of us at times struggle with this thing of worry. Well, the Bible says, don't worry. Be careful for nothing. Okay? Now, there is an alternative to worry for the Christian. What is the alternative? You got it. After 3 weeks, I got at least 20 people this morning to say it. In your handout, the alternative is peace. That's right. Look at verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this text is going to show us how to choose peace over worry. We've already studied 3 points, so let's review. Number one, we said that we can choose peace in our daily life over worry. By number one, does anybody remember becoming a what? Good, peacemaker. You can't have peace in your heart if you're not going to make peace in your life with other people. If you're going to go around with bitterness and resentment and anger and you're a victim and everyone's against you and you're going to be mad and hold grudges forever, then you're not a candidate for peace. Okay? You're going to choose worry over peace. Number two, we said, what does verse 4 say? Everybody look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. So what was number 2? By daily what? Rejoicing. Making a choice to rejoice. You make a choice what attitude you're going to take when you get up each morning. You make a choice whether you're going to rejoice in the Lord or whether you're just going to be negative and critical and angry and upset and unthankful. You know, you make that choice every day. Number 3 is, how do I choose peace over worry? Number 3, by replacing your worry. And what did we say verse 6 and 7 teaches? I replace my worry. Every time I'm tempted to worry, what do? I pray about it. That's right. Number 3 is by replacing your worry with prayer. And hopefully you've been practicing that this week. Every time you're tempted to worry about something, replace it with something constructive. And that's prayer. Now let's go to number 4, and this is a key. Number four, how do I choose peace over worry? Is by winning the battle for your mind. By winning the battle, okay, for your mind. Now, where, can anybody tell me, where does worry take root in us? Where, if you were to guess, where does worry find place in us to take root? Where at? In our what? In our mind. That's right. In your handout, it says it originates, and then it roots itself, if we let it, in our minds, our thoughts. Okay? Our thoughts. Now, worry can surface in other ways. In other words, worry may surface as a stress headache. Worry may surface as a physical ailment. Worry can surface with moodiness. You're just moody. You're quick-tempered. Or depression. But you got to understand, that's just surface stuff. It originates in the mind. So if I'm going to overcome the issue of worry, then I got to get to the root. Somehow, I've got to replace the thoughts that are leading to worry. There are thoughts that you're thinking about that are making you worry. Somehow, some way, you got to replace those thoughts that are leading to worry with thoughts that are going to produce peace. Now, you're going to find out, I'm not up here preaching positive thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm not up here giving you some new age thing. We're going to go right to the Bible and we're going to see what the Bible says. Look at verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, okay, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things, let's say it together. Every time I pause, you say the word. Okay? Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Now follow the words here. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. And if there be any praise. Then what's the last phrase say? Think on these things. Those things. Look at verse 9. Talking about the things there in verse 8. Okay. Those things which ye have both, Paul said, learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next little two-letter word? Do. And notice the promise. The God of peace shall be with you. Now, in your handout, it says this. What you allow your mind to think and dwell upon will either bring peace or rob you of your peace. It's that simple. What you let your mind contemplate and think and dwell on is either going to bring peace or it's going to rob you of your peace. Now, he said in verse 9 that these people, the Philippian people, they had received some things from Paul. They heard some things from Paul. They learned some divine truth from Paul. He had given them some sound doctrine for their life. But then they had also seen those divine truths lived out in Paul's life. They were to take those things. Now follow this. They were to take those things that Paul had taught them and that Paul had modeled before them. And they were to think and meditate on those things. And he said the result of them doing that, the result of you taking those things, the truth I've given you, the truth I've modeled before you and lived out, when you take those things and you think on those things, what's the end of verse 9 say? It says, the God of what? Peace shall be with you. You're going to have peace in your life. Now, did you know that there is a battle raging today, right now, for the hearts and the minds of every person in the world? Now, you can take the whole world, you can break it down into two groups, believe it or not. You take the whole group, the whole world, break it down into two groups. What are they? Well, you've got those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, believers, and then you've got unbelievers, those who have not trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Did you know Satan wants control of both groups' minds? Let me show you. In your handout, I want you to turn it over there and notice right in that first blank, unbelievers. Okay? Unbelievers. Satan wants control of their mind. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 4:4 in your handout. It says, in whom the God of this world. Now, is that a big G or a little G? Okay, who is right now designated as the God, little God, of this world? This world system. see, that's in place down here. Is the world system down here, is it good or evil? Well, we know it's evil. And so it's Satan's world system that he's put on place on the earth, planet earth. Well, he's called the god of this world because of that. Now look, it says that he has blinded the minds, circle the word minds. He's blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not. Good, y'all are with me. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Isn't it interesting that the reason why people don't trust Christ isn't because God hasn't elected them, as you hear people teach. It isn't because God hadn't chosen them, or God doesn't want them saved, or that God has blinded them, or that God has created to reprobate them to hell. No, none of that business. The reason why people don't put their faith in Christ is not because God blinded them. It's because who blinded them? Satan's blinded them. See, God wants all men to be saved. And right now, there's a battle raging. That's the whole theme of the Bible. There is a battle raging for the hearts and minds of people. And Satan is seeking to blind people's minds from the gospel. We're seeking to proclaim it and preach it because we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So we're out there trying to proclaim it, and then Satan's trying to blind people's what? Minds from it. But number two, Satan's trying to blind believers' minds too. It says here in your handout, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear, Paul says, he's writing to Christians, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so yours, underline or circle that, so your minds should be what? Now you got to say it with me. So your mind should be what? Corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Satan wants control of people's what? Minds. Have you ever heard the term mind control? Well, that's Satan's goal, mind control. In your handout, it says every day we're bombarded with Satan's lies. Every day. You say, how? Anybody name a way? What's a way that Satan likes to disseminate lies? What's a vehicle he uses to do that? TV? Somebody said. TV certainly is a very powerful way for him to get out lies. What's another way? Computer, the web. Yeah, internet. Absolutely. Somebody said books. Radio. Magazines. Newspapers. Bingo. Somebody just said it. Music. Satan's trying to program people's minds. So he bombards people with lies. He's presently the god of this world. That's why your main sources of entertainment and education and news are, they are going to be controlled by who? That's just the way that is. Okay? Your main sources of news, education, entertainment are going to be controlled by the god of this world. The god of this world. He wants to program people's minds. That's why Satan makes sure that he's in control of the main outlets of information that people get and entertainment that they get. Is because he wants people's minds. He knows that's the key. That's the absolute key, is mind control. You know, now there's nothing we can do about it unless you're planning on moving to Mars. Okay? He is the god of this world. And there's, as Christians, you know, we're not going to be able to lead some revolt and take over the news media. I'm sorry. But as Christians, we're strangers and pilgrims going through this earth, and we're not going to be able to lead a revolt and take over the news media. Not that there can't be, you know, definitely some little things here and there, but by and large, I'm talking about, you know, you're not going to lead a revolt as Christians. Listen, you think as Christians we're going to lead a revolt and take over Hollywood? Huh? And every movie Hollywood makes is going to become Christian. No. Do you think that we're going to lead a revolt and take over the radio dial and every channel on your radio is going to be Christian? No. Not going to take over the TV. You know what though? Isn't it good to know that one day things are going to change, and that's when Jesus returns to the earth. Jesus Christ will come. The government will be on his shoulder. He will establish a righteous government. and righteousness and His knowledge will fill the earth, the Bible says. And one day Christ will return to the earth. Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit. And praise the Lord, Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth. So what do we do in the meantime? What are we supposed to do as Christians living in a world that is dominated and controlled right now by the God of this world? Well, there is something proactive that you can do to overcome the constant bombardment of Satan's lies. And it's in your handout. It says you can fill your mind with truth. God's truth. And that's what verse 8 in our text is all about. Look at it again. And you tell me, what meets the criteria of verse 8? You tell me. Look at this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. It's got to be true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are, notice, pure. Morally pure. Whatsoever things are lovely and of good report. And if there's any virtue in it, if there's any praise in it, then he says, what am I supposed to do? Oh, think on those things. If we are constantly bombarded with Satan's lies, and we have little exposure to God's truth, then inevitably, we're going to believe and we're going to act on Satan's lies, which leads to worry, fear, anxiety, feelings of stress and despair, feelings of worthlessness, hopelessness. But if our minds are constantly exposed to the truth of God, then we begin to live our lives by God's principles and precepts, which always results in an inner peace. Isn't that what verse 9 says? Look what your Bible says, verse 9. Those things, those pure, honest, true, lovely things, he said, which you've both learned. I taught them to you. You received them. You heard them, and you even saw them in me. Do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. So as I begin to program my mind with God's truth, then I begin to live out God's truth, and what's the result? The result is an inner peace. Do you see why it's so important to win the battle for your mind? There is a battle raging for control of your mind. Between God and Satan. Satan wants control of your mind, your kids' minds, your teenagers' minds. Yeah, Satan wants to control their mind. Satan wants to program your teenager's mind. He wants to program your kids' minds with sexual, sensual, atheistic thoughts, humanistic thoughts. Wants to program their mind. A person may say, well, Pastor Dan, I tell you, neither one's going to have control of my mind. God nor Satan, I'm in control of my mind. The fact is, when we refuse God's truth, we have believed the lies of Satan. Whether you consciously realize it or not. For instance, somebody says, well, I don't believe in God or Satan. Well, swoop-de-doo, Satan is as thrilled as he can be. Because you just bought one of his lies. He doesn't care if you believe in him as long as you don't believe in Jesus Christ. So, I mean, it doesn't make any difference to him. You bought one of his lies. Somebody says, well, I don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. I believe there are many roads that lead to heaven, and Jesus Christ isn't the only way to heaven. Well, you may think that you thought of that. You may think that was original with you. But that is the same lie Satan's been selling to people for the past 2,000 years. But yet God's truth remains the same, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I don't think there's any consequences for sin. You can live any way you want to and it doesn't matter. But yet God's truth remains the same. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In your handout it says most of our worries stem back to one or more of Satan's lies that we have ingested, we took it in, and then we believed it. And when we spend hours upon hours upon hours allowing Satan's world system to program our thinking, is it any wonder that our faith is small and that we live in bondage to worry and fear and depression and stress and addictions? You cannot program your mind, church, with all the wrong stuff and then expect to go out here and live a victorious Christian life and a life of peace. You can't do it. You simply cannot do it. Why do people rape and kill? Why do people commit adultery against their spouse? Why do people curse and swear? Why do people use God's name in vain? Why do people steal? Why do people rebel against authority? Why do kids backtalk and sass their parents? Why does all this go on? It's because we have programmed our minds with Satan's lies. We've taken it in, we've ingested it, and at some point it becomes part of us and we begin to believe it and act on it. And in this turbulent world, it says in your handout, we need an anchor for our heart and soul. And that anchor is what? Come on, say it louder, church. What's the anchor for our heart and soul? God's Word. This will keep your mind right. This will keep your thinking straight. Why do teenagers go astray? Their thinking's messed up. Why do people grow up into adults and want nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with God's things? Their thinking isn't right. Why do people want to get involved in destructive things? Because their thinking is wrong. Their thinking, it all goes back to the mind. Think about this with me for a moment. Think with me, and I want you to think about this passage. And I want you to ask yourself a question right now. How much time do you spend in a week? Let's just take a week. 24 hours in a day, 7 days. How much of that time do you spend reading, listening to, or meditating on God's Word? I'm just asking. An hour out of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Maybe you spend an hour Sunday morning. Maybe you come back Sunday night, you get another hour. Maybe you come back Wednesday night, you get 3 hours out of a whole week. Maybe some of you, and I know some of you do this, and it's great. You read God's Word in the morning, you go to the website, our website, and download some messages, and you listen to them in your van or in your car on the way to work, on your way home from work. When you're buzzing around town, you're just getting God's Word in you, getting God's Word in you, getting God's Word in you. Some of you, I know you'll take a verse and you'll write it down on a little card, keep it in your pocket or in your billfold, and when you've got dead time at a stoplight, you got dead light time and you're waiting in the grocery line, you'll pull that out and you'll read it and meditate on it and think about it. That's great. It's redeeming the time. But I'm asking, how much time do you meditate on God's Word and think about it, read it, study it, listen to it? And then how much time do you spend allowing Hollywood, the web, books, TV, music to program your mind? Now, some of that's okay if it meets the criteria of verse 8. I mean, let's face it, 95% of what's on the web is garbage. But there is some good stuff you can get off the web. I mean, our website's there. So, I mean, there is some good stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. And maybe 95 is high. I understand. Don't hold me to that now. I don't get off on that. And because some people are like, oh, that's wrong. Well, okay, then you take whatever figure you want. The bottom line is, there's good and there's bad on the web. I understand that. So you can actually spend time on the web and be filling your mind with God's Word. And I understand that. That's great. You know, you can be listening to music and be filling your mind with God's Word. Why? Because it's biblical music. It's based on God's Word. And it's edifying. And it edifies you in your faith. And it programs your mind with the right stuff. Can I just say something real quick? And I'm just going to say this right out, and because it's very applicable to the message, and I'm not up here to try to dictate the details of your life, but I am up here to tell you this. Did you know that it is detrimental to you when you listen to ungodly music? Now, I know it's going to be quiet, and I know that some of you maybe, you know, but that's okay. I want you to hear this. It's because you're not going to hear it from anywhere else. So someone's got to tell you the truth. You say, well, why are you doing that? You mad at me? I love you. You see, I want you to know the truth. And the truth is, you can't listen to ungodly music and program your mind with it and think it's not going to affect you. Can't do it. You cannot listen and watch ungodly things and ungodly movies and think, well, that's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect my kids. It's not going to affect my teenager. It's just a movie. You know, there's an old expression, garbage in, garbage out. Some people wonder, well, I don't know why I curse and swear when me and my wife get in a fight. I just curse and swear. Well, when you watch that on the movies, and that's what they do when they get mad, and they throw out four-letter words, well, all of a sudden, you find yourself cursing and swearing when you get mad, or you get in a fight, or you get upset. You see, everything that we do as Christians should be put to the Philippians 4:8 test. You know? And the Philippians 4:8 test is right there. Look at it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, whatsoever things are pure. I'm sorry, but it's not pure. Some of you in here right now, if a neighbor came into your home and started using vulgarity and four-letter words in front of your children or in front of your wife, and they started doing that in your home, you would tell them, hey, you know what? You need to stop that, or you need to get out of here. If somebody came on your driveway and was screaming vulgarities and using God's name in vain, you would call the police or tell them, get off my property. But somehow we can go to Blockbuster, pay money for it, pop it in the DVD player, and just let that thing go like crazy in our house and never object to it. Never object. It's entertainment. That makes sense, doesn't it? To think that we can listen to people cursing our God, making a mockery of God's Word, making a mockery of purity and virtue, and think, that's just entertainment. And think, it's not going to affect me. Oh no, it affects you. It affects you. Trust me, it affects you. You see, you cannot put garbage in your mind and think there's no effect. Okay, there is effect. And in your handout, Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, in other words, the old life before you got saved. God says, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So I'm to put off the stuff I did before I got saved. I'm to put that off. I'm to drop it out of my life. All this stuff, the way I talked, the way I acted, the way I thought, the things I did, I'm to put it off. But then he says, if you'll skip down there, he says, in that ye put on the new man, the new person you are in Christ, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So he says, put off the old life, put on the new life you have in Christ. What is the key to me putting off all the corrupt stuff? And what's the key to me putting on the righteous and the holiness that I have in Christ and living that out? What's the key to that? Look what's in bold. It's verse 23. Look what's wedged in between the two. Can you say it with me? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do I put off the old and put on the new? Be renewed. That word renew means to renovate. Renovate your thinking processes. Renovate your mind. put God's Word in there and start weaning yourself and getting all the garbage out and put in the good stuff. It says here on the screen, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to the world. Well, how can I not conform to the world? Here's the key. Be transformed by the renewing of your... There it is again. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, in your handout it says, how do I renew my mind? How do I get out the worldly garbage and think on the right things? By filling it with God's truth. And if you want to choose peace over worry, you got to win the battle for your mind. Fill it with God's truth. Can you look at the bottom of your handout? Look at the bottom of your handout. And he said to the Thessalonians, when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now look at this, which effectually, powerfully worketh also in you that believe. He said, you took God's word, you received it, you ingested God's word, and he said, it's making a difference in the way you live your life. All right, here we go. You ready? I want to end this message with verse 8. And I want us to look at it. Finally, brethren, you want to win the battle over worry and stress and all these things that come in our life that's bad? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, everybody say with me, think on these things. Everything you do in life, put it to the Philippians 4:8 test. Work on that this week, and I guarantee you, you'll be on the path to choosing a peace in your heart and life over worry. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning.